All right, guys, welcome in. It is Heatwave Sports. Happy Independence Day weekend, everybody. I am Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com, running solo tonight for the next 2 hours. Tim Unglesby will join me tomorrow night back on at it on a Super Sunday edition. So, look, we have a lot to talk about tonight, but I'm going to kind of keep it to a Major League Baseball sort of show. Look, there are a lot of topics out there, and I'll take your calls, 876-1340. You guys can hit me up over on the X at Tom Barton Sports. Let me know what you want to talk about. If you want to get into the Bronny situation, you want to pile on, hey, I'll be glad to pile on the LeBron situation and Bronny anytime. Want to save a lot of that for Tim tomorrow. The NBA signings around the league, yeah, I could get into that, and I might get into that later on in the show. The same thing with some NFL news as well. You want to talk about the mass exodus that is the Golden Knights and what is going on with the Golden Knights and them not re-signing people? How much do they try? Look, you guys want to go on and on about that? We can talk about that. We can talk about NHL signings. All of it is on the table. But it's going to be a Major League Baseball-centric show unless you guys steer me otherwise. We're hitting at a position here where we're almost having to think about the trade deadline. You know, the trade deadline is less than a month away. The trade deadline has traditionally become something where a lot of people, you know, kind of, it sneaks up on them, right? It sort of sneaks on up on everybody, and they go, oh, wait, I didn't even realize it. Yeah, it's July 30th, guys, right? We have 23 days until the trade deadline. But here's the thing. We're going to be off the 14th and 15th, okay? So we're off next, or the 13th and 14th, I should say. We're off next weekend. And there's the All-Star break, so not a lot going on that weekend. We're also off Saturday the 20th. Between today, tomorrow, I want to cover everything because we got to be ready for that 27th show to get ready for the trade deadline. Now, we have talked about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. We have started to somewhat discuss it here on the show, saying we knew someone was going to jump the gun. Someone was going to go early. And usually that early trade is actually a pretty good trade. Aaron Civale goes over to the Milwaukee Brewers for, you know, a middling prospect. I think it was a good move for them. Milwaukee often makes these small moves, San Francisco as well. Small guys fill a need, not trying to get a superstar, trying to go get someone that just fills a need. And Civale is a guy that, look, he's going to eat innings for you, right? I mean, that's what he's going to do. He's going to go out there, he's going to eat innings for you. So I look at him and I go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, and we knew that was going to kind of sort of be on the table for Milwaukee to go get an arm. Aaron Ashby hasn't become what they thought. I'm not sure they want to bring up Mizorowski quite yet. They're in the thick of a pennant race. So we'll get into the rumors that I've heard. We'll get into fits for each team. I want to go over every single team tonight and kind of talk about where we stand as far as the trade deadline, who is a likely candidate. I don't want you guys calling up and giving me these outrageous calls. Look, I grew up in the days of Mike and the Mad Dog on WFAN. And you heard people calling up and, you know, say, I'll give you the Bat Boy, three hot dogs, and you give me three best players. It gets irritating. Greatest show of all time, I get it. Gets irritating, right? So we don't want to go out there and throw out ridiculous trades. If you throw out a ridiculous trade to me, have the wherewithal to put some stats to back it up as opposed to why. Not why your team wants it. Why would the other team want it? And that really, when you start to talk about trade deadline, people always want to throw out their trades and you go, wait a minute, be on the other side. Be on the other side of the table. Does the other GM want that? Does the other GM want to pull that trigger, right? This isn't draft day. This isn't Kevin Costner. This isn't make-believe. This is, you know, reality. Does somebody else want this? And guys, I'm going to give you my PSA. It happens in fantasy leagues all the time, right? You don't have to be a professional GM to get this kind of ridiculous kind of thing. Okay, look, we're doing a little fantasy. I'll give you Patrick Mahomes. You know, you give me Tank Bigsby because you have ETN and you need a backup. No, it doesn't work like that. So I will give you realistic trade targets, I'll give you realistic trades, things that I'm hearing, rumors that I'm hearing, needs that might be fit for each team, and if teams are even going to make moves. Look, I would say by and large, what we've watched in the last couple of years is we have one or two teams make pretty interesting early moves, couple of interesting early moves in the season, in the draft trade season, which is early July, late June, early July. Then we have a little bit of a lull. Then we have in the middle of July, about the 10th to the 15th or so, what we've watched right before the All-Star break, we see a flurry. And then it comes out of the All-Star break, and there's kind of a lull until that last little jolt. And I know we had Soto last year. We've had some real interesting trade deadlines in recent memory. But I'm not necessarily talking about the trade deadline, because some of these teams don't have the luxury of sitting through the trade deadline. We'll get to that as well. We're sitting here a couple of weeks away, a week away from the All-Star break. And everybody looks at the All-Star break as the halfway point, but halfway point is gone, right? I mean, most of these teams are playing their 90th game tomorrow, or should be playing their 90th game in the next couple of days here. The trade deadline halfway point was last week. So it's not as far off as you think it is. It's not as, well, you know what, there's still plenty of time, as your pessimistic or optimistic friend, I should say, wants to tell you about the team. There's the pessimism of looking over your shoulder. Go ask any New York Yankee fan, where were they sitting 3 weeks ago? And I'm one of them. Where were they sitting 3 weeks ago? Real Yankee fans knew that there were problems in that team. The record didn't say so. Where are they sitting now? Every single Yankee fan and every baseball fan knows the New York Yankees are in trouble right now. Not only in trouble of losing the division, luckily the Orioles keep stumbling, but also in trouble of potentially missing a wild card. I mean, is it possible? Well, yeah, it is. Yankees only 5 games up in the wild card, guys. It's very possible. So you look at the early part of the season in two ways. There's a lot of time to make up ground if you make the right moves, if you make the right commitment to winning. There's a lot of time to make up ground. But you also say you have to make up that ground quickly, because the season is getting to that point where you are past the halfway point. I mean, this is where we are. There are some teams that are dead and buried. And all of the wild card nonsense, right? Let's add wild cards, let's add extra teams, let's add all that. There's the biggest mistake, and I was on the air at the time that this happened. I was doing a daily show. I was on the air at the time that they instituted this new rule. And I said, one of the stupidest things that I've seen any sports league do is they instituted all of these wild card teams. I've said this on the air before, so if you've heard me before, bear with me. But they've instituted all these new wild cards, all the new format, everything was new, and they didn't push the trade deadline back. So a lot of these teams are going to fool themselves. A lot of these teams are going into this trying to kid themselves where, hey, maybe we are a contender, and it's a disservice to them. Maybe we are a contender. No, you're not. No, you're not a contender, and you need to pull the trigger quickly. And then you have the teams that maybe shouldn't have been here, right? Maybe a team that, like the Pittsburgh Pirates, 4 games under 500, but you go, man, if they could squeak in, got Jones and Skeens, 1-2. You got Bednar in the back end. I mean, now you look at Pittsburgh. Are you a contender? Do you deal? Do you go for the run and try to catch lightning in a bottle? These are all the kind of questions that I'm going to answer tonight. I often heavily favor the pitching aspect. That's again, a warning for the next 2 hours. I heavily favor the pitching aspect. I believe if you sat down all 30 GMs in a room and they were given a magic potion where they would have to tell the truth, which is the only way that they would tell the truth, and they would have to tell the truth, every one of them would look at their team and say, we need pitching. And I'll tell you what, you might not need that magic potion, because every team needs pitching, whether it be a frontline starter, obviously the gold card, that's what everybody wants. Whether it be a reliever, every single team is going to tell you they need relief help, and every single team probably does need relief help. Most of them need a lefty reliever. Again, with the rule changes, getting away from the loogie, the lefty-only specialist, lefty-handed pitchers have to get out more than just one guy, right? So you have to you have to be a different kind of breed, and that is in short order. So I lean pitching because I know that GMs are thinking the same way that I am. There's not a lot of GMs out there going, man, if we could get that number one bat. There are some, but there's not a lot of contenders, because if you were a contender, you probably have that lineup, with the exception of a absolute number one team. And I think there's two or three teams this year maybe go after a bat. Will those bats become available? So that's kind of how we're going to break this down. I also heavily favor teams that have shown me in the past that they will make a move. You know, it's great to sit back and say team A matches up really well with team B, and that's the player that they need. Team A needs the player that team B needs, it, and this is the way that we're doing. It's really, really fun to say that. Some teams just don't do business with other teams. Some teams just don't do business, right? I mean, I read an article the other day from Pittsburgh about the Pirates. I don't mean to keep bashing the Pirates, but I think they're one of the more intriguing teams, which we'll get into. Read an argument for buying players in Pittsburgh. And you go, you know what? You can make all the sense that you want. You could lay out the argument. You could give me the reasons. You can go down that road. I'm going to tell you that the Pittsburgh Pirates just have never shown me to be buyers. I can't remember the last time they were aggressive at this point. I can't remember the last time that they were a team that said, you know what, we're going to throw our hat in the ring and give up our cheap, and that's the key word here, cheap young talent. So no, I'm not going to assume they're buyers. The Oakland A's, right? The Oakland A's are going to sell. Even if they were in first place, they might sell. I mean, they are just sellers. So keep that in mind also. I lean towards history. I lean towards what the general manager generally does. That's where I'm looking. We also have to go out there and think about job security and what happened over the offseason. You know, there's a lot of these GMs, and we talk about this. Me and Tim go over this over the course of the year. And we talk about this in November, December, January, the baseball winter meetings. I was there in Las Vegas doing the baseball winter meetings a few years ago now. And there's a lot of fans that turn around, and reporters and GMs, and they basically give the line without saying it. They basically say, you know what? We'll see where we're at the trade deadline, and we'll make our move there. So we didn't make a big move now, but we'll fix things at the trade deadline. And you hear it. It's repeated. It's written about by the reporters. It's talked about openly. We know, okay, this GM, this team, whoever it may be, what they want to do is go fix things at the trade deadline. And then the trade deadline comes around, and we don't put them at the top of the list. We forget that they said, we're going to go fix things. We forget. And guess what? In a lot of cases, they hope that we forget. They hope that we do. But it's the same problem. More times than not, the same problem that we spoke about before opening day. This team has this hole. This team has this problem. That same problem has reared its ugly head, and it should be addressed at the trade deadline. But oftentimes, it's still lacking. So I want to address that as well. This is all goes into talking about who might be available, why they might be available, who's a good trade partner, and what teams need. Now, remember, you know, I will give you a list here of what I'm hearing, who's going where. This I shouldn't have to say, guys, but guys can only go one place. Right? I mean, they can only go one place. So while I might tell you, hey, you know what, this guy, he might go to three different teams, I'll tell you the team that I think he's going to go to. I one of the bugaboos that happens, and it happens all the time in sports talk radio, is people go, okay, you know what? This guy's the hot pitcher or the hot hitter at the trade deadline. Everybody's looking at him. Yeah, he might go here, and then they'll write up an article, and they'll have him in three different places. Look, he can only go to one, so we got to make a decision. I'm going to put my feet to the fire as well here. So I hope you guys do the same thing. Real quick scoring update in extra innings. Arizona beats San Diego 7-5. And again, another team that, well, both of these teams that really kind of make you shake your head. you know, the Padres for years now have just not been able to be the team we thought they were, having a good season. Still can't catch the Dodgers. They put that bullseye on their own back when they said, you know, we're going to catch the Dodgers. Well, they're not catching the Dodgers. Arizona comes one game closer to 500. They certainly don't have the magic that they had last year, but the magic is enough to get a win here, enough to start moving on. That's a team. Now, we'll get into when I start to go team by team, but that's a team that you look at and you go, yeah, maybe they can make a fix here. Maybe they can find their plug, their one hole, get a little bit of that magic back. I don't think they will. I don't think they'll be able to plug the hole, but I think that they'll try to make moves. So 30 teams, I would expect almost everyone to be active. Some teams are active early. Brewers, San Francisco, usually early active teams. Some teams are active late. Teams like the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers are usually last weekend, last minute in a lot of cases. That's what they kind of do. And you'll see. We'll see some surprises this year. We'll see some obvious picks. We'll see some head shakers. And the last final point before we take a quick break and then start up with the teams on the other side of this is, look, I am not a genius when it comes to minor leaguers, but I know more than most. I've written articles about minor leagues. I follow them very, very closely. Very, very closely. Outside of people that cover the minor leagues for strictly covering the minor leagues, I am right there. And so is Tim, to his credit, absolutely. So if you don't know a minor leaguer's name, it doesn't mean that he's not going to be impactful. If you don't know that this guy is not going to be traded for this, it's not because, well, you know what, he's just a minor leaguer. No, these teams are not going to trade anyone. I had this conversation about James Woods about 3 weeks ago for Washington. James Woods going nowhere. Absolutely no way. He was never going to go anywhere. Well, why would he? And I'll tell you the truth. Washington looks like they've actually won that Juan Soto trade, but that's a whole nother diatribe. So let's take a quick timeout. Come on back when we do come back. We're going to start it off right up top, right at the division I expect to be the most active, the American League East. Baltimore, Yankees, Red Sox, Rays have already made a move. Blue Jays, yeah, I expect lots of activity in the AL East. We're going to get to that. And again, all of your calls and anything that you guys want to write over at X. I'm already getting some stuff. It's Tom Barton Sports at X or over at Twitter. We'll be back right after this right here on Heatwave Sports. All right, guys, welcome back. Heatwave Sports. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com here. We are going over the Major League Baseball trade deadline coming up in just a couple of weeks. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is on its way. And we're sitting here, guys. The biggest activity I expect is in the American League East. It's seemingly every year that the American League East, these are the players. It's seemingly that they drive the market in most cases. The money is there, obviously. But it's a new dynamic in the American League East this year. Orioles are fluttering a little bit, but they still have a two-game lead. The Yankees have hit the skids. Lots of problems there. Boston's up and coming. They've gotten themselves back into this thing in a year that everybody thought was going to be a down year for Boston. The Rays have already made a move. They're a game under 500. Their move wasn't giving up, though. We'll talk about that. And then the Blue Jays are having just a dreadful year, so much so that we're hearing major rumors. So we'll go team by team here. Look, the Baltimore Orioles' needs are very obvious, okay? They need a starter because they have been decimated. They need some bullpen help. And you start to go, what about the lineup? No, they're perfectly fine in the lineup. This is a team that absolutely has the minor leaguers to get anything done that they want to get done. Let me repeat that. Anything. They can just about get any player in baseball that would be even maybe going to go on the block. If they wanted to give up Jackson Holliday, which they won't, but if they wanted to, they could dangle him. Premier prospect. Kobe Mayo. They could absolutely go out there and look at a Kobe Mayo and say, yeah, premier prospect. He's going to be the big name that everyone's going to be asking for. But there are others. There's Norby. There's a slew of minor leaguers in the Baltimore system. And just to give you an idea, Jalen Ortiz went to Milwaukee's hitting in the middle of the lineup, defensive whiz. he was not even among the top five for Baltimore. You could go down Stowers. You go a Colton Cowser. I know they're on the team now, but you can absolutely move them. So Baltimore has what it takes. They do not need hitting. They don't. They don't need hitting at all. So they're going to have to give up these minor leaguers. They're going to have to give up, or the young guys, you know, Stowers, Cowser. They're going to have to give these guys up. Heston, maybe. But they have a slew of what is able to kind of ail them. Now, in the offseason, Corbin Burns was the guy that they needed. They needed a frontline star. They needed that number one ace. And they went out and they made the deal. Remember, Baltimore has a brand new management, brand new ownership, brand new everything there. So Corbin Burns showed you that they are going to go out there and make a move. For much of the year, the early part of the year, it seemed everybody was screaming, got to get rid of Craig Kimbrel. They have to go get a closer. They have to get a closer. Well, Craig Kimbrel has been fantastic lately. I don't know if you trust Kimbrel at a big spot, okay? But I also don't necessarily think that it has to be that way. You have a guy like Cano, you have a Kimbrel, now you bring in a big arm, maybe you mix and match it. What they do need is, they need an arm. They lost Dean Kramer because of an arm injury this year. They lost Wells because of an arm injury this year. They lost Bradish because of an arm injury this year. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Grayson Rodriguez, he's not going to throw 180 innings, guys. I don't know what condition he's going to be in. It's kind of Corbin Burns and stringing it together for the Orioles, who seem like they have everything in order. And when you peel back that onion, man, Baltimore has some problems. So you start to look around and you go, well, where are they going to be? Well, they're going to be buyers for sure. They need a starter. They could certainly use a bullpen arm. And if you really break it down, look, they probably could use like two starters, right? I continue to hear center fielder. I don't necessarily know if Cedric Mullins is going to be the guy there. I could use a center field. They could use a center fielder. I don't think Mullins is going to be the guy. I don't think Mullins is going to be the answer for them. But they would have to make that their third priority, right? Their third priority would be Mullins, would be a center fielder, not their second priority. Number one, got to go get a starter. I'm saying Jesus Luzardo from Florida matches very well. He makes a lot of sense. He is a guy that you go out there and you go, yeah, Luzardo and maybe Scott from Miami, right? They are a good 1-2 that fill everything that Baltimore needs. Luzardo has some arm issues. He hasn't been at his top this year, but I'm thinking about a combination type of situation. Where can you find two guys on a purely selling team? A lot of people are going to look at Garrett Crochet for the White Sox as well. I don't know if the White Sox are going to go get rid of him. You know, Kopech as well. You have a Kopech that could be a part of that. Again, purely selling teams, you know that they're selling. I don't think you're getting much from the A's. As much as everybody wants Mason Miller to come there, you know, are the A's that team? An underrated selling team that you might want to take a look at to fill these type of positions for Baltimore. And I think it would be a very favorable situation. And by the way, Tim's two favorite teams, which is interesting. How about Tyler Anderson and Carlos Estevez? Estevez has been on fire right now. Tyler Anderson has been great. He has a 1.87 ERA away over most of the year. I mean, the guy has just looked fantastic. I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. But they're not going to ask for a ton out of a Tyler Anderson and Carlos Estevez. You're not going to ask for a ton. Heck, you could even throw Matt Moore in that group as a lefty. So I think Baltimore absolutely makes a move. I think Baltimore fixes their problems, and their problems are 100% that they need arms. And I think they need two. I thought Savali would have been good for them. I think they need innings eaters. So Baltimore will be active. I do expect them to certainly get a bullpen arm. I absolutely expect them to get at least one starter, maybe two. I do expect them to be in the market for a center fielder. I don't know if they pull the trigger on that. A Luis Robert. I don't think that they pull the trigger there. They're going to get an ace more than anybody else that's out there. They're definitely going to get an arm. It's who's that guy? Do they go and go out and give up a Colby Mayo or a Norby? Or a Cowser, or a Stowers. And do they go out there and try to get that ace? Baltimore is in an interesting position. I think Florida and the Angels are the best trading partners there. New York Yankees. Look, Yankees, Ben Rice has come to save the day, and he really has. I mean, the Yankees should just let these young guys play. Aaron Boone's consistently benching young guys. He's benching young guys for garbage. You know, they're not fixed if you let Rice play and Cabrera play. And these guys, they're not fixed, okay? But let's be honest, you know, it makes it a lot more enjoyable, and it gives you a little bit of more hope if these guys are the guys that are playing, you know, not sitting back and you're going, yeah, well, yeah, we got to deal with DJ LeMahieu every day and Jose Trevino, who can't throw me out. But the Yankees still need fixing. I'm not sure Gerrit Cole is fixed. I still think that Gerrit Cole is more than likely a guy that's going to sit back and he's going to need Tommy John eventually. I said that about Bradish. I say about Gerrit Cole. I don't trust Rodon. I don't trust Stroman. I don't trust the entire pitching staff. And their bullpen has just absolutely hit a wall. Clay Holmes is not even reliable anymore. I like Weaver. You don't like Ferguson. The New York Yankees need a left-handed reliever tomorrow. Like, absolutely tomorrow. Unless they're counting on E-Frost coming back. You know, they could use two bullpen guys. They need bullpen help tomorrow. The New York Yankees also need a starter, ideally more of a frontline starter. The New York Yankees also could use a third baseman, and everybody wants Gleyber Torres out. Potentially, he's a trade bait guy. Look, they do have guys in the minor league system. Norbit, Spencer Jones, a Dunham. They have guys. Will Warren's out there. LaLanne is out there. They have guys to trade in the minor league system. But you also have a guy like Gleyber Torres that other teams might want. So what do I think the Yankees wind up with? I have no confidence in Brian Cashman as a general manager anymore at all. I think that the New York Yankees are in a position where I feel like he thinks that the hitting is going to come around. I do. I don't think that the Yankees I think John Birdie's on his way. Look, Rengifo is the name I heard. I heard that there was a lot of discussion about Rengifo and Matt Moore coming over to New York from Los Angeles. Then Rengifo got injured. I think that they're going to be happy with Birdie coming back. They're assuming that LeMahieu is going to turn the corner. I think it's going to be patching together the offense. This is the offense that you have, New York. This is it. As far as the pitching staff goes, I do expect the Yankees to be active. They will get a middle reliever. Could it be a Hunter Harvey? Could it be a Kyle Finnegan? Yeah, absolutely. I could see them going in that direction. Tanner Scott is the guy that the New York Yankees should be getting. They probably want Mason Miller desperately, but they're not going to pay that price. So by the way, Jason Dominguez, they're kind of looking into the September plans as well. That you're not going to trade a Dominguez. You're not going to trade a Jones. You'd be trading middling prospects. Middling prospects aren't going to get you who you want. Maybe a Tanner Scott, maybe, but you got to outbid Baltimore. I think Baltimore's going to be a winner at the trade deadline. I think the Yankees are going to be a loser at the trade deadline. They have too many wants and not enough to give. The Boston Red Sox, again, they need a starting pitcher. What Boston's doing right now is a lot of smoke and mirrors because Tanner Houck is going to hit his innings limit. Cutter Crawford's going to hit his innings limit. The Boston Red Sox pitching is not good as it is. Look, they could hit. And maybe they'll make a move. I had thought for a while that Kenley Jansen might be on the move, but Liam Hendricks is coming back. I don't see that. They'll get an arm, but I think they'll get a mid-rotation arm. A mid-rotation arm, very possibly. When you look at a Tyler Anderson, yeah, maybe he fits there. That could be a decent fit. You look at some teams, if they start dropping out of the race, maybe a Kyle Freeland is a guy that goes to Boston. I don't think that they're going to make any big moves. The Rays, even though they're a game under 500, the Rays are in sell mode. Building for the future, they know what they have next year. Shane Baz, they're selling because they wanted to make a rotation spot for Baz. Baz is coming back. McClanahan will be back next year. Bradley looks good. He's going to hit an innings limit. The Rays are not going to buy. The Rays will sell minor pieces. I don't think you're going to get a lot from the Rays, but they do have a slew of pieces in the bullpen. You might be able to get a bullpen arm. Kevin Kelly comes to mind right away. You could get a bullpen arm there from Tampa if you're selling. And then we go to the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, there's already been rumors about maybe they'll listen to offers about Vladimir Guerrero. Potentially, they'll listen to offers about Bichette. If we're looking at that, then why aren't people looking at Chris Bassett, who's a huge arm? Well, you don't think the Yankees would love to plug him in? You don't think the Orioles would love to plug him in there? Boston, in their own division? I could go on and on. Chris Bassett makes sense. Jose Berríos, if they decide to move on from him, which I don't think they will, but he makes sense. Kevin Gausman is on the wrong side of 30 and approaching 35. He makes some sense for a team. So I'm looking at the Blue Jays as a major player in Toronto, but maybe not for the players that we continue to hear. We hear that the major players in Toronto are going to be the Vlads and the Bichettes of the world. I'm thinking that it's going to come from the staff. I'm thinking that that staff has enough that they could go and replenish a farm system that has just not lived up to expectations. Will people call coming for Bichette? Yeah, they will. They're not going to pay the price that Toronto was. Will people come calling for Vlad? They absolutely will. He's a premier name, but what they're going to ask for Vladimir Guerrero, and let me make this very clear, they are going to ask for a Juan Soto-type deal because Juan Soto was about the same age. Juan Soto's young. Juan Soto had the same promise that Vlad did 2 years ago, but guys, we've watched 2 years of Vlad. No one's paying that up. And I made the comment at the beginning of the show that I think that the Juan Soto deal, yeah, they got the wrong end of the Juan Soto deal. The prospects were too good. We are in a generation where they don't want to pay players that much anymore. They can replace them with young guys. They want the young players. Vladimir Guerrero would be a great get for any team. I don't see any team ponying up the money and the prospects to go out there and say, Vlad's going to be my big offseason acquisition. He's not a home run hitter anymore, guys. He's a guy that is a very good player, better than your first baseman, more than likely, better than half the first baseman in the league, but he is not worth a Juan Soto type 5 prospect package in any way, shape, or form. All right, guys, let's take a quick timeout. Come on back. When we get back, we'll go through the Central, the West, and then head over to the National League. All that and more right after this, right here on Heatwave Sports. All right, guys, back here on Heatwave Sports. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com sitting in for 2 hours here talking Major League Baseball trade, deadline, news, notes, rumors, and everything. I'm going team by team here. We're going to the AL Central. And look, the AL Central is one of these weird situations that every year the Guardians are better than we expect them to be. Every year we say the Guardians need to make a move. They need to go get a bat. Every year, they don't go get a bat. I mean, it's just every single year. Here we go again. They have a 6-game lead in the division. The Guardians are 55-32. They are fantastic at home. By the way, for you bettors out there, one of the trends that I follow, they only have 10 losses at home this year. They only have 2 back-to-back losses at home going back to the New York Yankees back in April. So something to pay attention to. But the Guardians are great, right? Their bullpen is fantastic, and it goes deep. It's not just Class A. Herrin has stepped up. I mean, they are really a complete team. Their starters, Tanner Bibee, you look up and down, and you go, yeah, Gavin Williams coming back. They lost Shane Bieber, and they're still here. I still think they need another arm because I'm concerned about innings limits. But if Gavin Williams comes back, then they won't need another arm. The Guardians are in a good position. I don't buy into this hitting, though. Stephen Kwan, sure, he's a nice player. No power, but you can get by with that. Kwan is a really good number 2 to Jose Ramirez and Bo Naylor. But it drops off considerably after that, right? I mean, it really does drop off. I think their middle infield is lacking. Now, they are trying to catch some flash in the pans here. And I think that this is why the Guardians are not going to make a big move. I don't see the Guardians making any kind of big move here. Because I think that John Kenzie Noel is their answer for the big bat in the middle of the lineup. You know, another home run here. Yeah, Noel is that guy. And they've been able to mix and match. And they're looking at this and they're saying, I think we have the division. I don't think Cleveland makes a move. We go to the Minnesota Twins. Seemingly every year we're saying that the Twins should make a move. Every year we look at the Twins and we go, yeah, it's time for them to make a move. The Twins, generally speaking, don't make moves. They'll make little moves here and there. Look, their move is at get Pablo Lopez back on track, right? Their move is keep Royce Lewis healthy, can't do it. Their move is keep Byron Buxton healthy, can't do it. Now, Jose Miranda looks really good. The back end of their bullpen looks good. Their starters look good. The Twins, I don't see them making a move. I mean, look, the Twins' move to make would be go get a big bopper, right? Somebody that could stay healthy. But they don't really have a place for him if people come back healthy. Their whole deal is get everybody healthy. I can see them making a minor move for a mid-level arm. Maybe a Chris Bassett there makes sense. I'm not expecting big things out of the Twins. I don't think they're buyers. I don't necessarily think they're sellers. I don't think the Guardians are buyers. Well, they're definitely not sellers. I don't think the Guardians are necessarily buyers. That leaves the Royals. Royals are 5 games over .500. They just lost back-to-back games against Colorado. I think we all know a lot of this is smoke and mirrors. Look, Cole Reagans is great. Springer's going to hit his innings limit. Lynch is not the guy that's coming up. Their bullpen still closing with MacArthur. Schneidler is okay. I mean, they have okay players. They're doing their job. And then you look at their lineup and you go, okay, you got Salvador Perez, Hall of Famer, potentially, right? Bobby Witt, top five player in the game. Vinny Pascatino, yeah, I like him. That's not dead air. That's me trying to find the next guy. You know, are you okay with a Melendez hitting about under 200? Are you okay with Hunter Renfro hitting his weight? Are you okay with Freddie Freeman, who, you know, is a part-time player, probably being your next best, you know, DH option? Garcia is really fast, and he has ups and downs, but I think the Royals need a bat. And you think about if you turn around and you put a Pete Alonso in that lineup at DH. And I'm just mentioning Alonso because I think they need the pop. You go out there and you do that. All of a sudden, this team is a completely new team. Completely different team. Completely different outlook. I don't think the Royals will make a move for a bat, even though they should. It might be a minor move. They should go get a Jazz Chisholm. Think about a lineup with Bobby Witt and Jazz Chisholm. Go get a Jazz Chisholm. I just don't know if they have that. Their minor league system is not exactly stacked. I mean, Bobby Massey's up. He's not great. Their system isn't exactly stacked. They're not going to pay anybody big. They're not going to go out there and just deplete it. They do need a closer. Look, I like James MacArthur, but he's a little inconsistent. Unless you're going, look, if you're a playoff team, you don't want MacArthur closing out games. Do the Royals consider themselves a playoff team? 5 games over .500, do they go for it? We talked about this at the top of the hour. Some of these teams have to be real with themselves. Are the Royals in that position where you have to be real with yourself? I think the Royals do go get back-end bullpen help, but I don't think that they're going to go get the premier guys. I don't think they're going out there and they're going to spend on the premier talent. I mean, is a Gavin Cross getting you much these days? Not in this kind of market. The Tigers, a team everybody expected more of, they are falling out of this thing. They're in fourth place. Traditionally, they're in fourth place. 15 games back, seems all the time they're 15 games back, right? 7 games under .500, seems like they're always 7 games under .500. I mean, you look at the Tigers, and you go, this is who they are. Tarik Skubal has hit the skids. He doesn't look like himself anymore. Outside of Riley Green, I mean, they sent down Spencer Torkelson. The Tigers are a mess. Now, I think Colt Keith can be better. I think that they're going to look internally. And I believe that the Tigers can be somewhat sellers. Look, Foley is doing a fine job. He's not your typical great closer. He's doing a fine job at the back end of that bullpen. But somebody will pay for Foley. I mean, Foley is a guy that you go out there and you go, yeah, you throw him in, he's going to be effective for somebody. I think he's attractive to play to teams. You know, a guy like Willie Castro, Tigers fans, I know you don't want to hear it. He is valuable on the market. He can play a million different positions. He's a guy that is going to give you a professional at bat. I think the Tigers should be sellers. I think they will be sellers because I think when they look up, come the trade deadline, they're going to be 10, 12 games under .500. I don't think they're going to be early sellers, though. They're going to give it the month of July, see if they can get to back to .500. That's going to be their goal, and then we're going to see from there. And we get into the White Sox, probably the biggest sellers and the known sellers in baseball. I mentioned Garrett Crochet. I mentioned Michael Kopech. Both of them can be out there. Andrew Vaughn is another interesting name. He will not cost as much as a Pete Alonso, but he gets streaking. Look, he's only 26 years old. I know Luis Robert is someone everyone wants. Eloy Jimenez can't stay healthy, but he's still a name people want. The White Sox have pieces that they could give up. They have pieces. I fear that the White Sox are so utterly mismanaged, they're not going to be able to pull off a big deal. The deals that they're going to ask for Luis Robert are going to be laughed at because of it doesn't meet productivity, what you could do on the field, and his price is not that of a top 10 player, and I think they want his price to be a top 10 young player. Eloy Jimenez, same sort of thing. He's an often injured, banged up guy that is limping to first base in like a Giancarlo Stanton type of situation. No one's going to pay through the nose for these guys. You know, you look at a Crochet and a Kopech. Look, one guy shouldn't even be closing. He's got like a 5 ERA. And then you get, you know, a good starter, young, has had injury issues. Are you going to pay a premier price for him? He's got innings problems, injury issues. I think the White Sox guys should be probably the biggest sellers out there. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. They are completely mismanaged. Andrew Vaughn makes a lot of sense to me as a guy. Andrew Vaughn, Gavin Sheets, both of them. You know, Tommy Pham will probably be on the move. Again, is that moving the needle? It's not moving my needle. Maybe a Chad Kuhl will be on the move. Not moving my needle. Chris Flexen will be on the move. Not moving my needle. Eric Fetty is an interesting name. I mentioned Chris Bassett of that middling group. You know, guys that you're not looking to start game one or game two of your playoff, but you slot them in game three and you're happy starting a playoff game with him. I think Eric Fetty could be that. So think about the teams we just mentioned that needs, you know, not necessarily that number one. How about the Orioles? What if the Orioles, and we talked about center fielder as well, what if the Orioles made a huge offer and they have to give up a guy like Mayo? They got to give up big names. But they go out to the White Sox and they go, okay, you know, we want a couple of guys. We want Luis Robert. Okay, you're not going to pay. We're not going to pay that price. No problem. But we will pay if you give us two. Go give us, you know, Eric Fetty and you know, I don't know. Are they gonna go out there and pay for Garrett Crochet? Yeah, maybe. Give me Eric Fetty and Garrett Crochet on the Orioles. Maybe that's a move. The Yankees could use innings. Eric Fetty would look good in pinstripes for the innings aspect. Boston needs that middle reliever. I mean, that middle starter. Boston it fits for. So the AL East and the White Sox secondary players line up, but I don't think there's going to be a huge amount. I can't see people paying up for the Jimenez, the Robert, and the Crochet. I think that the White Sox are going to be left holding the bag. It seems to me that they have what people want, and they could be a major player. The Chicago White Sox could turn their team around in 2 years if they make the right moves. Go out and get premier minor leaguers for your big guys. Eric Fetty will attract something decent. Go trade Robert today and get three, four good minor leaguers. Go trade Crochet today. Go get three, four minor leagues. Go trade a Gavin Sheets. Go trade an Andrew Vaughn. Go get rid of all these guys and start it new. I know that they have some value to your team, being all of them are, you know, under 30 years old or so. They're all still there. It doesn't matter. This is not working. Whatever you're doing, whatever incarnation of what you're doing is not working. The White Sox should be major sellers. I think they will. I think that they're going to get rid of one of Sheets and Vaughn. I think they get rid of a Fetty, a Flexen, you know, those kind of guys. I think that Tommy Pham certainly on the move. They'll get rid of minor guys for mid-level minor leaguers or, you know, guys that are not quite in the top 10 on an organization. But if you want the big name, Garrett Crochet is it. Lefty has looked good this year. I know he's got arm injuries. You're not going to get a big haul back, three, four guys, but you could get someone's top five prospect. And you know, just asking you now, look at both sides of the equation. Would you give up Mayo if you're Baltimore to get that lefty in that lineup, in that rotation? I think you do it if you're Baltimore. And I'm sorry, but you have to pull the trigger if you're the Chicago White Sox on that. You have to. And it's not just these teams. There are plenty more that will go over that could use his services. He's going to be a bidding war, but I think that the Chicago White Sox organization is just so inept that they're going to fumble this bidding war. They're not going to know what to do with it. They're going to ask for too much, hold out too long. Teams are going to move on from that idea, and you're going to be in a bad position. All right, let's take a quick timeout. Come on back. When we do come back, we're going to finish up the AL with the AL West, and then we are going to get into the National League on the other side of the break. Hour number two is going to be all National League. Lots more to talk about right here on Heatwave Sports.
You ready? back to Heatwave Sports.
All right, guys, welcome back to Heatwave Sports. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com here. Hour number two, we are talking about Major League Baseball trade deadline. Guys, go check me out at TomBartonSports.com. I am red hot, rocking and rolling the last couple of days. It has been really nice to be a part of TomBartonSports.com. You guys can be a part of TomBartonSports.com. If you sign up today and you're telling me that you're listening to me, normally I give you 30 days for one place, right? And that's it. There's no upgrades. There's no commission. There's nothing. You have 30 full days. Every play I give for 30 days. If you're telling me that you're listening today, I'll give you every play that I give out from now until the very first football game. Yeah. So that's, you're getting more than 6 weeks of plays at TomBartonSports.com. Let's get into it. The American League West. Look, it's jumbled up here. The Mariners are seven games on top of the Astros. There are seven games, on top of the Rangers and seven games over 500. The Astros in between, they're only two games back after their slow start. Even the Angels, only 10 games back, even though, they're looking at 14 games under 500. Look, this is very simple. The Mariners have to be buyers. They do not have hitting. They just don't have hitting. Julio Rodriguez is a shell of himself, and it was coming into the season, it was going to be Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh, and that's it. Well, Cal Raleigh is batting 200. The guy's still hitting 30 home runs and driving in 100, but he is hitting 200. Julio Rodriguez can't do anything right. Julio Rodriguez is a disaster this year. The Mariners have very, very, very easily, to me, the best 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the league. They have a dynamic bullpen that's going to get even better with Gregory Santos. They are not in any way, shape, or form shopping for pitching, and they shouldn't be. They need a bat. They need a bat. They need a bat. They need a bat. Now, they have low minor leaguers that are really good. The low minor leagues are really good. The upper minor leagues, I don't know if you're going to give up a Colt Emerson or a Young, but they got two or three guys that play the same position. Two or three guys in that minor league system that are ranked inside the top 100 that all play shortstop. Now, you could tell me, okay, move this guy to 30, move this guy to second. Sure. But that is a dangling piece to go get a bat. They need someone. Now, you want to talk about going to get a Luis Robert. Wow. Talk about getting a Pete Alonso. This is a team that needs that. This is what they need, guys. Right? You break this team down. They are all pitching, all arms. They can't hit their way out of a paper bag. They have got to get hit. If the Seattle Mariners don't go out and get hitting this trade deadline, Mariners fans, you guys should revolt. I mean, you really should. You look at the names that they could be bringing back. How about a Jazz Chisholm there? Look, I know that Julio plays center field, but you could find a place for him. You look at a guy like a Cody Bellinger. Wow, Bellinger would look good in the middle of that lineup. You don't even have to go that deep. How about a McMahon, right? How about a Ryan McMahon in that lineup? They have got to go get not even one. They have to go get multiple bats for me to take the Mariners seriously right now. The Astros are in a weird position. Yeah, they'll be buyers, but their minor league system is not very good at the upper levels. They don't have a lot of trading commodity. And I don't think they have one need area that you circle and you go, yeah, they have to get that. They're hitting. Alvarez went down today. Their hitting is, you could use a bat, sure. Their starters, yeah, you can use an arm, absolutely. Their relievers, you got the back end, but you can always use a reliever. And the Astros don't have a screaming need. They will make a move. They don't have a screaming need. Now, it was thought just about a month ago that maybe Bregman would actually be on the block to go. They're not going to be trading anyone. By the time the trade deadline comes, they'll probably be in first place. I expect the Mariners to keep falling. The Astros are going to have to hold off the Rangers, which at this juncture, it looks like they probably can. Houston's going to make an interesting move here. So Houston's going to make us all think Houston is going to put the AL on notice with an interesting under-the-radar move. You want to talk about a team that could go out there and blow Miami away with a Luzardo, a Scott, and a Jazz Chisholm. I mean, they'd have to unload their system, but wow, their team immediately changes tomorrow. Right? I mean, that team suddenly changes tomorrow in just astronomical ways. if they want to go do that. You know, what if the Blue Jays are selling? How about Vlad and Bassett on this team? How about Vlad and Gausman? You get Vlad and Gausman on the Astros, do they become the American League favorites? I think so. So I think the Astros are going to be big players here. If I'm an American League team that has World Series aspirations, I'm terrified of the Astros and what they might do. I don't think they have the draft commodity that they used to. It's going to take a little creativity, but I think they can do it. Then you have the Rangers. 7 games under .500. 7 games back. But they're not dead. Right? I mean, they're not out of this thing. 7.5 games back of the wild card. They're only 7 games back of a division. And they're looking up and they're looking at the division and they're going, this is a weak Mariners team. It's a Mariners team that, you know, we think we can catch. Texas is getting healthy. Scherzer just came back. Wyatt Langford's starting to hit. Texas doesn't have, you know, that absolute need. Evaldi just came back. They're trying to get healthy. And Texas has the young guys, but are they willing to go out there and make a deal because they don't need a superstar player? Look, this is by and large a team that won the World Series last year, right? This is by and large the same sort of makeup of a team. They didn't lose a major player. They have their hitting in Semien and Seager and hoping that Langford comes around. They have their pitching, hoping that Scherzer comes around and Eovaldi. And, you know, they could use a middle rotation guy. You want an Eric Fetty destination? The Rangers make sense there as well. That would make some sense, an Eric Fetty in that spot. Other than that, I think that the Rangers, I don't think that they are even looking at a back end of a bullpen. There was a time where I said the Rangers are definitely going to go get a closer. I don't think you go into the playoffs, you know, relying upon Kirby Yates and whatnot. But David Robertson has been fantastic, and I feel like they think, you know what, if he falters, we can throw Robertson in there and feel perfectly okay. So I think the Rangers are one of those weird teams that are in the playoff race. They probably want to plug a couple of holes, but I don't see them making a big move. I don't, guys. I don't see them making that dynamic move that we need. That we need to make that move to consider them back as a World Series contender. The Angels are done. It's time for a fire sale. Tim said it to me, and I could not agree more. It's time for a fire sale, Los Angeles. It get rid of everybody. You look at the Angels and you go, Tyler Anderson has reinvented his trade value. He pitched great today. His road ERA is fantastic. He's definitely a name people want. Carlos Estevez should be on everyone's radar. Matt Moore, a lefty, is definitely on people's radar, despite his like 7 ERA. They're going to trade him, but they're not going to get much. What are you giving up for these guys? Tyler Anderson is not going to command a lot. Estevez, maybe, but not a lot. I mean, I don't even know if people are going to get Estevez and plug him into their closer role. Think about it. Baltimore needs, you know, some bullpen help. Do they make him the closer? A team like the Royals will, but are the Royals really doling out that kind of money? The Rangers, and I got to trade it within division. There are some spots here that you could look at and say maybe. I think the Angels are in a little bit of trouble because the guys that they will trade are not going to garner huge names back. Now, you want to start talking about trading a Taylor Ward? I don't think they do. But if we're having a fire sale and that's what we're talking about, yeah, Taylor Ward's got to be on the menu for that. Brandon Drury, I don't know what kind of value he even has. Hasn't really swung a bat this year, right? A Joe Adell, maybe somebody wants to take a chance on his power-speed combination, although he's batting 200. The Angels have to sell everybody, and I don't know if they will, because the market isn't screaming for them. Anderson, I expect to be gone, sure. Again, another middling guy, an Eric Fetty type of guy. His numbers this year say he's an ace. He's not. I don't even trust him as a 2. I'd say as a 3. And I look at it, look, my team is one of the buyers for these positions. The Yankees need bullpen out. Do I want to pay through the nose for Estevez? No. Do I want to pay through the nose for Tyler Anderson? And then we get to the A's. Mason Miller is the big name. But Brent Rooker is another guy. I expect Brent Rooker to go. I do not expect a lot of movement from the A's. I know it's crazy. But the A's don't have a lot of aging guys that they will go out there and you know, be able to get a lot for. Brent Rooker makes a ton of sense Everyone will come calling for Mason Miller. I don't think they're going to trade him. So Lucas Ursig, yeah, he'll go. Is Blade going? No, I think he's a building block. So I'll say Andujar goes, Adams goes. Good bullpen arm there. Good bullpen. Ursig goes and Rooker goes. I think the A's trade four guys. I just don't know if they're going to get that massive haul back that they're thinking about getting. All right, let's take a quick timeout. We're going to take an early timeout here. Come on back. I want to start with the National League. There's a lot of movement in the National League, a lot of good fits. Like I said, we're going to start with the National League East, and the Marlins are on tap right now. I think the Marlins are in a huge fire sale. We've seen it before in Miami. Take a quick timeout. Be right back right here on Heatwave Sports. All right, guys, welcome back. Tom Barton Sports. Tom Barton here, and we are sitting here, Heatwave Sports. Hour number two, going over everything in the world of baseball as far as trade rumors go. Make sure you listen in tomorrow night. Heatwave Sports will have at 10 p.m. myself and Tim Unglesby as well. We're going to go over a lot of stuff in the NHL tomorrow. And I want to touch on some NBA, some Bronny news, and we'll see some of Tim's thoughts. I will say you guys are sending in some interesting trade scenarios. And I could tell without knowing who you are what team you're rooting for. And look, I rip apart my own people, okay? Yeah, the New York Yankees are not getting much value for Oswaldo Cabrera. You know, I'm hearing Oswaldo Cabrera for bullpen arms here, guys. Even so. You know, Oswaldo for Cabrera for Kyle Finnegan is not happening. It's just not. So we'll get into the NL East here. And by the way, he's sending in a couple of decent ones. Some decent ones. Look, people are really, this is the third person's written in that Vlad is going to the Astros. Guys, I want to hear the package back though. Right? Oh, Vlad to the Astros. That's easy to say for a Lopetito and what? No, guys, I need a bigger package. I need a bigger return for a Vladimir Guerrero, because that's what Toronto's asking. I'm not saying he's worth it. Now, somebody said, Vlad's not even that good. I'm not saying he's worth it. I'm saying that's what Toronto will ask. Do I think he could land in Houston? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Do I think Houston has the chips? Probably not. So, all right, let's go to the AL East. Philly, they're in great shape. Look, they're a 9-game lead over Atlanta. They're banked up. Their whole team is injured. Hearing that they need a closer. I think Hoffman's fine. Alvarado, they like him. Orion Kerkering is their next guy up. Turner just came back. He's raking right away. I don't think Philly has to do much at all. Maybe you worry about a little pitching depth, starter depth, sure. And an arm would be nice. I just don't see that closer on the market that, you know, you're going to go, oh, yeah, that's the guy. You know, who is the closer on the market that you're going, oh, 100%. Other than Mason Miller, and I don't think Philly's going to pay up for Mason Miller. We'll take another Miller, Aiden Miller, who is kind of their future. I don't see it happening. Philly's stacked. Philly's the best team in baseball, basically, and I don't see them having to make a move. They'll make minor moves because that's who they are. Nobody's going to move the needle. They'll get a bullpen middle type of guy. Maybe an Adams fits there. Maybe you get a middle rotation player, but I'm not overly worried there. The Braves should be worried. They're 9 games out. The Mets are catching up. They're only 5 games. They're closer to the Mets, and they're actually closer to fourth place, the Nationals, than they are the first place Phillies. They've been decimated by injuries, right? We know Acuna went down. That was a problem. But this team still needs pitching. I think that the hitting will come around. Austin Riley will come around. Matt Olson's too good to not come around. I still think they need pitching. Their bullpen should be okay. They might tinker there. I still think that the Braves can be a contender this year. They can do things. It just doesn't seem like it's their time. And they don't have a lot of capital that they're willing to give up. Yeah, you could go give up the young arms. They don't have that kind of capital that they're willing to give up. The Mets were thought to be sellers. I mentioned Pete Alonso's name about 15 times here because Pete Alonso is a free agent at the end of the year, and the New York Mets have made it very clear that they have no real intention of re-signing him. The Mets, though, are only 1 game under 500. They've been playing inspired ball, and then they go on this kind of losing streak that they are in, and you go, well, we're right back to where the Mets are. The Mets need everything. The Mets have a big hole in the bullpen if Edwin Diaz doesn't turn around and become what he once was, which you can't count on that. The Mets have big holes in the pitching rotation. Guys like Peterson are holding it down, but they're going to be out of an innings or limit. And Quintana, I mean, you know, the Mets rotation isn't anything to speak of. They could use another bat or two. I don't think the Mets do anything substantial here. I know I mentioned Alonso a couple times because he's the hot name. They have a month to make me a believer. But I think if they're 3-4 games under 500, 3-4 games over 500, you just won't see the Mets do anything. And that's going to be frustrating to Mets fans to watch Pete Alonso walk away at the end of the year. But unless somebody comes calling with a huge offer, I don't think that they make many moves. Washington's a team 5 games under 500. I thought Washington should have been buyers. I like Parker. I like, Irvin. I like the rotation with Gore. I like what they're doing there. I like everything about Washington. They bring up James Woods. I like the Nats, okay? I love the Finnegan, Harvey, Floro, Law, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's the thing. The Nats might get rid of all four of them. The Nats are in sell mode. They've made it perfectly clear. Their pitchers are very young. They brought up James Woods. They have an Abrams. This is their guys. This is their team. They're going uber young, which means they're going to have an opportunity to sell. And, you know, who are they selling? Nobody wants a Patrick Corbin. Right? I mean, they're not selling him. If you go up and down the lineup, by the way, they just DFA'd somebody to bring up Trey Lidscombe, who is probably just holding a spot for their new third baseman coming up. Maybe Lane Thomas, but it's going to be Winker, who's at, he's going to be the bat that people could go get. All right, no one's paying through the nose for him. But you start talking about Finnegan, Harvey, Floro, and Law, all of them in their minds, I mean, Harvey's a little bit young, but all of them in their minds are not on their team long term, probably not going to be part of the organization when they feel like they could be back in this thing. This is the team that you go to for middle relievers. Now, Harvey has had a bad week or so to really hurt his status. Finnegan's been absolutely fantastic. You want to talk about Mason Miller. If there is that guy that you want to plug in, Baltimore, Finnegan's your closer. Finnegan's your closer right now. Kansas City, Finnegan's your closer. Rangers, Finnegan becomes your closer. He's the guy, but don't discount a guy like Floro, who's a middle guy. Hey, look, the Yankees need a couple of guys. I would go get Finnegan, Harvey, Floro, and Law for the New York Yankees. Put them all there. I think the Yankees get one. Baltimore probably gets one. Kansas City maybe gets a Floro. I mean, I think the Nationals bullpen is going to be depleted quickly. And then you got the Marlins. I've mentioned them multiple times. Miami Marlins, Jazz Chisholm is not clearly on the block. Luzardo's on the block. Just about anybody that can hold down a position is going to be on the block on the Marlins. Scott is a big name that everybody's looking at, and they should. The Marlins are going to be a fire sale, and it's going to happen relatively quickly. I think that they're just holding out for the best. They're hoping that some of these teams can get into a bidding war with themselves. I thought Miami would already start moving players, because they have a slew of players that can go, but they haven't. Josh Bell will be on there. Anthony Bender, maybe he's gone. You look up and down this team. Maybe a Brian De La Cruz attracts somebody. Calvin Foucher. A Nick Gordon could play a million positions. He could get something back. Andrew Nardi, he'll get some attention. Trevor Rogers could get. I mean, their entire team could go get attention. I think they're gonna be distinctive sellers. Chisholm being the biggest name, I'm not sure if he goes. I think Luzardo probably goes, and Scott is a goner. Let's move to the Central. Brewers, they're making their small moves. The Brewers have Devin Williams coming back, so they don't need bullpen help. Although, again, every time I say they don't need bullpen help, it means everybody wants bullpen help. The Brewers could still use another arm. I don't see them being a big player. Look, they got a 5-game lead. I feel like Devin Williams is coming back. I think they're just looking to hang on. Cardinals are interesting. Cardinals were in sell mode. Goldschmidt was out of town. Arenado was out of town. Lance Lynn was out of town. Still might be. This team was going to get rid of all their veterans, all the big names. 4 games over 500, only 5 back of the division. By the time the trade deadline comes around, the Cardinals could certainly be in first place. And in St. Louis, guys, it's not about championships. Sorry, Cards fans, but it's not. It's about just be good. Right? Just be that good team that wins divisions. They've liked that for a while. That's been their philosophy for a while. The Cardinals have so much that they could go give away. If they go Delta Helsley, could you imagine the kind of command that they would get back for a arm like that, as much as Mason Miller or close to it? They're not going to make a move. Cardinals don't do that. They'll make minor moves here and there, plug and piece, but they're buyers, not sellers. Pittsburgh, again, I'm going by their history. They're sellers, not buyers. Jones and Skeens in the playoffs with Bednar backing them up. Man, it gets interesting, right? It gets real interesting to think about what they could do, but they're not going to do it. They're four games under 500 in Pittsburgh. That means we sell. And they got guys to sell. Chapman will be somewhere else. Maybe Bednar will be somewhere else. They have players to sell. And I think that they're on full sell mode. Again, their bullpen, Bednar, I know he hasn't had a great year, but he becomes a closer on almost every team in baseball. Chapman's still going to be that lefty guy that automatically teams are going to overpay for. Pirates are going to sell. I'm sorry, Pirate fans, but that's reality. Turn around and you look at the Reds. Five games under 500, 10 games back of the division, 9.5 games back of the division. And I think that they're in a catch-22 here. I believe that they still think that they're a wild card team. I believe that they still believe that their window is now, that it's not next year. They just can't get the wins. Their rotation is solid. Their bullpen is solid. Their lineup is more than solid. There's not an obvious need here. Again, could they use some veteran leadership there? Would a guy like a Kevin Gausman make them immediately the favorites in the Central, automatically change that team with a Jose Barrios? Yeah, maybe. But do I think that's going to happen? No. I think the Reds and the Pirates basically have the same record. The Pirates are saying to themselves, you know what? We know what's going to happen here. We're going to fall out of this thing. Let's trade everybody while we still can, build young. The Reds are saying, you know what? We got the same exact record, but we think we got a chance. And they're going to fool themselves into believing that they have a chance. I don't think they're going to be buyers, but they're certainly not going to be sellers. And it brings us to the Cubs. There's been times this year that we've talked about trade deadline. I've said on the air, I think the Cubs should be buyers. I've said on the air, I think the Cubs should be sellers. I think that they've given us the answer. They're going to be sellers. They're 8 games under 500 unless they have a remarkable month. Now, the Cubs are a team that will wait. They will wait right up until deadline day. I don't see the Cubs, for example, Cody Bellinger is going to be a guy that's going to be on the market. I don't see the Cubs dealing a Cody Bellinger in the next couple of weeks. I don't see the Cubs dealing, even a Kyle Hendricks in the next couple of weeks. These are guys that can be on the trading block. Now, if the Cubs turn it around, do you think they're going to be buyers? No, I don't. To me, this is the team. I think that they will be sellers. Do I think Bellinger is certain to go? No, I'm not going to say that. But if they dangle Bellinger, doesn't he become the best bat out there? I mean, Robert is good, but he's got some baggage with him. Bellinger may not have that electric numbers, but you know what he can do? Lefty bat, plays multiple positions, probably a better glove. I mean, to me, he's the number one bat if they decide to sell, and I think the Cubs will sell. Just don't know if Bellinger is a guy that they'll be willing to move. The Cubs are going to be that frustrating team for Chicago fans where we all know what they should do. We all see the writing on the wall, where this is headed, where the Cubs are headed, where the spiral downhill is starting. I just don't know if they do make those smart decisions, and those smart decisions would be sell. I don't think that they do. All right, guys, we have one division left. Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Giants, and Rockies. I expect a lot of movement in this division, so I saved some time for it. But we are going to take our last time out here. We'll come on back. When we get back, we'll have about 20 minutes to talk about this division. I see a lot of movement, both buying and selling. And that kind of movement could determine not only the division, but very potentially the World Series winner this year. All that and more right after this, right here on Heatwave Sports. All right, guys, welcome back. Heatwave Sports. We're hitting the home stretch. I've saved the National League West for the last 15, 20 minutes here. Look, I think there's going to be a lot of movement. I talked about it at the top. I started with the American League East. I do believe that in the American League East, the Orioles, Yankees, Red Sox will all make moves. I think the Blue Jays make a move selling-wise. So I think four of the five teams, and the Rays already made a move. So the East will be extremely active. The Central, everyone's looking at the White Sox, you know, Tigers. I don't see big moves, even though they all might be involved in it. Same thing with the West. A's will sell. I don't think they sell Mason Miller. The Angels will sell. But I don't see anybody making a huge move. The Mariners should, but they won't. The National League East, to give you a recap, I expect the Marlins to have a fire sale. I expect the Nationals' bullpen to be just absolutely decimated. I think the Mets don't know what they are. The Braves will look to do something, but not obvious fixed. And same thing with Philly. They'll tinker, but that's about it. In the Central, Brewers probably minimal moves. Cardinals, minimal move. Pirates, they'll sell maybe the back end of the bullpen, but not much. The Reds, minimal moves. Kind of all comes down to the Cubs there. By the way, I could see the Cardinals making a move with the White Sox for, you know, a Crochet potentially. That's a Cardinals-like move. Just don't know if they're going to pay up. So let's go to the West, where I expect the second most movement. AL East the most, the West as far as big names. Look, the Dodgers are struggling to hold off the Padres in Padres' minds, right? The Dodgers 7.5 games up. They're fine. They're perfectly fine. They're looking at a 100-win season. They're fine. They also have the luxury of knowing what they're coming back. Mookie Betts is coming back. Clayton Kershaw is coming back. Blake Treinen's coming back. I mean, they have relievers coming back. They have starters coming back. They have, you know, bats coming back. They have a lot coming back. The Dodgers don't have to make a move. And if it was anybody in baseball but the Los Angeles Dodgers that I was talking about, with all of those facts known, I would say they won't make a move. But it's the Dodgers. And we kind of know that they will make a move here. You look around their team, you go, catcher, first, second, short, third, you know, where are they going to plug somebody in play? You can't even use the DH because Otani's there. They're going to be looking for a big arm. Are they looking for bullpen help? I think they're fine. Look, I think they feel fine with Hudson and Phillips and you know, the collection that they have. Do they want a bigger name? Maybe, but we thought that last year too, and they went with Phillips and felt good about it. I mean, look, a Finnegan going there, yeah, that changed things. A Bednar going there, yeah, that could change things. A Mason Miller going there could change things. And I think the Dodgers kind of want that, but I do think that they want another arm. And a Crochet makes a lot of sense. I think the Dodgers knew that they were going to have to go try to find an arm at this point in the season. I do. A Luzardo makes sense there. A lot of people are saying, well, Jazz Chisholm in LA. Yeah, that can make a lot of sense. The underrated move that I think the Dodgers are kind of that team to go out there. The Los Angeles Dodgers are sort of the team that everyone expects to make this big, huge, you know, all-encompassing move. And they certainly might, right? I mean, they have what it takes to do it. I could see them going to get a Miguel Andujar in a package with a Mason Miller and throwing everybody for a loop. Wow, they gave up that for Mason Miller. Yeah, I can see that. But generally speaking, I think that the Dodgers are all on. They're going to go. They're going to make a push for Crochet. He's a lefty. He makes sense. They'll make a push for him. They'll probably go out there and make a push for some of the Blue Jays guys. I mean, I think that they feel like they could fix a Kevin Gausman. But outside of that, I don't know if there's a lot the Dodgers can get, even though they want. They want a Corbin Burns. I mean, they want a number one guy. Is Luzardo that? You know, no. Is Crochet that? No. But maybe that's what they're going to have to settle for. The Padres, look, five games over 500. They're in the wild card hunt. But they're 7.5 games behind the Dodgers. The Padres are in a position where they lost Tatis. Some of the moves that they made that was supposed to set them back actually helped them. They've looked good. They're getting contributions from Cronenworth and Kim and a guy like Michael King. Their back end of their bullpen is as solid as any team in baseball. Their bullpen is fine. One of the few, if you name one team in baseball that probably doesn't need bullpen help, I guess it would be the Padres. I really do. And I've heard nothing on that front. I hear they want another starter, but they really, you know, look, they went out there and they got Dylan Cease, and that was going to be their guy. They made the move for Michael King. That was going to be their guy. Yeah, I don't know if that they're going to be making any moves. The Padres have always been in the mix. This is one of those years where I think the Padres aren't going to do too much. You know, they have an embarrassment of riches in the middle infield when you look at, you know, the guys that they've had to move around. They've had to take a second baseman, Cronenworth, make him a first baseman. Bogart's a shortstop, make him a second baseman. Kim's normally, you know, a third baseman, make him a shortstop. Now he's a shortstop, now he's a third. Jackson Merrill's a shortstop, made him a center fielder. So, I mean, they have the pieces to do it. They could probably use another big bopper in that lineup. I just don't know where exactly he'd fit. Look, I keep saying it, but how about a Cody Bellinger in San Diego? A Pete Alonso in San Diego. That starts to make sense. But again, now you're finding positions. I think the Padres are kind of going to play this thing out. Diamondbacks, game under 500. Arizona's sitting in the position here where you look at them and you go, they're a broken team. They're having their problems, but they're a game under 500. I don't love their bullpen leading up to Sewald, and Ginkle's been okay. I don't love their bullpen. So they'll certainly look there. Brandon Pfaadt went down today. Montgomery was a disaster. Their starting staff needs plenty of help, but they've invested so much and come up short. Their bats have been a problem. Corbin Carroll, well-documented. Aguino Suarez, they tried to take a shot on him. He's terrible. Outside of Christian Walker, really? What are we doing here? Really? How are they still in this position? But they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. So if they wanted to go get an arm, yeah, that makes sense. They wanted to go out there and they want to go get, you know, a bat that they could plug right in the middle. Yeah, that makes sense too. I think Arizona feels like, hey, we got to the World Series last year. We're playing about 500 this year. We've dealt with some injuries. I don't see any moves from Arizona. They're one of the few teams in baseball. Arizona, the Reds, you know, there's two or three teams in baseball. I just don't see a desire for them to sell. Certainly not. To buy, I'm not possibly sure that they're ready to go in there and buy. They've taken their swing. They took their swing to kind of get back there, and it sort of failed miserably with Montgomery and Suarez and the moves they've made. San Francisco's always a player. San Francisco's two games under 500. San Francisco, though, is 11 games back of the Dodgers, but they got their eye on the wild card. The Giants need a bat, and you could just repeat that forever. You know, they go out, they make a splash for arms, but they just keep losing the bats. And Matt Chapman hasn't been bad, but they keep losing the big bats. They wanted Judge, they wanted Soto. Everybody keeps saying, every time a big bat comes to the market, the Giants are the player, right? Judge, it's going to be the Giants outbid them. Nope, didn't happen. Soto, nope, going to be the, nope, no. Soto after this year. It's always what's going to happen next. They were in on Cody Bellinger. Weren't able to get it done. I don't see this Giants team as a threat for the playoffs, but we've seen stranger things happen. The Giants don't need bullpen help. I think they're fine there. I actually think that their rotation could use an arm. They could always use an arm. I don't know that anything is more pressing in baseball, though, than the Giants needing a bat for years. They went out, they got Jorge Soler this year. He's fine, and that's being complimentary. He's nothing special. The Giants went out and made moves that kind of burned them, but they still missed out on the big name guy. And the big name guy, I just don't see out there. I don't see, you know, Alonso or Bellinger landing with the Giants, although they need them. Maybe this is a team that Brett Rooker comes to and he becomes, you know, that guy. If the Giants were smart, they would go get Crochet and Robert, go give up some of their middling but okay farm system and really just go and reinvent their team. I just don't think they're going to do it. Yeah, how about a team? You want a team that could use a Jazz Chisholm, an energy, a player like that? Yeah, there you go. There's the Giants. And finally, you have the Rockies. Rockies are going to be sellers, as they seemingly always will. Nobody wants Rockies pitchers. They have a couple of ones. Gomber looked good tonight. He's a lefty. He'll come cheap. Kyle Freeland. Look, he's consistently that guy, a Jalen Beeks could attract, you know, from a pitching standpoint, could attract people. Yeah, maybe a Dakota Hudson. I mean, they could give up plenty of pitching. Cal Quantrill looked good in spurts. They can give up all their pitching, but they're not going to get much back for them. I do see the Rockies making a move there. But it's their hitting that will attract and can get a decent return here. Look, I'm talking about Ryan McMahon, third baseman and second baseman, having a fantastic season. I'm talking about Elias Diaz, who is a catcher batting over 300. And I'm talking about Charlie Blackman, who every year is on the trading block. I think two of those three are gone. I think Ryan McMahon is already out the door. He could fit with the Yankees if they need a third baseman. That makes a lot of sense. He could fit with the Dodgers. He would plug into third base nicely for the Dodgers. He's a guy that, you know, you look at and you go, are the Cardinals okay with Gorman? Maybe he winds up there. You go over and kind of start trying to find, who could use a bat and who could use that kind of energy. Well, the Mariners, there you go. I talked about it. Ryan McMahon makes sense there. Charlie Blackman's more at this stage in his career as a, veteran leadership, plug him into the lineup. I don't want to call him a fourth outfielder, but he's not somebody in the middle of your lineup. And, you know, the Rockies certainly can deal Diaz. Diaz is a big name. Guy's batting 300. He's a good catcher behind the plate. He's not over the hill. I think Diaz can net them a pretty good return. Remember, this is not fantasy baseball, guys. They really, Major League scouts and GMs love the catcher position, and anybody's going to go out there and pay. So I think the Rockies lose two of their three. I think the Rockies are going to be the most active team as far as how many players go. Miami looks like the team as far as the major players go. And I think Washington is the team that loses the most at a skilled position. I think Washington and Pittsburgh could lose almost their entire bullpens. I expect all of that stuff to start happening relatively soon. The Rockies and Marlins should have been dealing already. The only reason they're not is they're getting so many offers that they're sitting and waiting for the best offer. That's good news if you're a Rockies fan. That's good news if you're a Miami fan. The Oakland A's, Los Angeles Angels, look, I know that it should have been a while ago, but they know how to play the game, and I think that they've realized, okay, we're out of it now. It's time to start playing it. The White Sox should have been dealing as well, but Chicago is Chicago, kind of a mess. Toronto is a team that has made the decision, okay, we're going to start trading. They're all holding tight. Once you start to see the real chips fall, I'm not talking about the Aaron Savalas of the world. I'm talking about the real chips start to fall. Then it will all be a domino effect. People are looking at, maybe I want Cody Bellinger, but man, if there's a chance I could get Vlad, you know, I'll hold out for him. Maybe I want Luis Robert. Yeah, but you know what? I don't know if I want to pay for him. Maybe I'll sit and wait on a Bellinger. They have the names that are out there, and they know, you know, kind of who they're targeting, but a lot can change in the next 2 weeks or so. As far as the bullpen's concerned, you're going to see those dominoes fall very, very fast. There are two or three closers that can certainly make an impact right away. There are lefty arms. These teams need them. They know they need them. They're trying to give the next 2 weeks of evaluation. But if somebody comes to you with an offer, they're going to pull the trigger. There are teams that are desperate right now for relief help that actually believe that they can make the World Series. They better not wait too long, because there's only a certain amount of arms that are out there. You don't want to be stuck sitting down and looking at a Jalen Beeks when you could have had a Kyle Finnegan or David Bednar, right? You don't want to be sitting there holding the bag, so to speak, where maybe you could have gotten a Mason Miller, but you didn't think so, and you decided to go in another direction. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Tim Inglesby will be back with me. We're going to go over everything in the world of sports, back to some Major League Baseball trade rumors. If anything happens, of course, we're going to get into that. The NBA, I want to touch on Bronny tomorrow night. The NBA movement, the Boston Celtics, basically $1 billion to wrap up. That they want a new dynasty to start in Boston. We'll talk about those moves, some trades here and there, and the NHL. Vegas Golden Knights fans, Tim will have some interesting takes on why he was right all along the entire offseason. I'm sure we won't hear too much about it tomorrow night. Listen in tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Heatwave Sports. Have a very good night, everyone.